I did the programme with the BBC, and it was quite an eloquent and very kind of thought-provoking and emotionally led kind of programme, talking about my experiences as a traveller and man in Donegal in terms of mental health. And, you know, when we were going through the issues, I was talking about, you know, racism and discrimination and the embedded prejudices in Irish society against travellers. Going through the Twitter platform shortly after, and I was reading through the comments, and it was just completely reflective of the, it just reinforced and actually proved the discriminatory and racist attitudes, the kind of attitude towards the general population towards travellers, which is kind of historically situated. I think it has been perpetuated throughout the years in terms of for the last acceptable form of racism on the island of Ireland. Now, that's not creating a hierarchy between us and the black community in terms of who faces worse racism or discrimination. But what would be kind of evident is it's much more acceptable. And that's why, you know, Minister Helen McEntee is kind of working on the criminal justice or the hate crime bill and kind of, you know, reimagining it. But it needs to be implemented. It needs to have really kind of strong provisions against hate speech, like you've seen there, that kind of individual racism against travellers. And it personally affects you, Greg, you know, in terms of yourself and your identity and your ethnicity, because regardless of what kind of resilience you have or what kind of position that you're in, you do internalize these negative connotations around your culture and ethnicity, you know. And I have a son, and to be very frankly honest, and this is terrible in 2022 that we're sitting saying this, but I'm generally scared for him growing up. And the negativity and the prejudice and the racism and discrimination, all these overlapping kind of isms, if you like to say, that's going to be faced against them just on the single entity of his ethnicity, nothing else.
Yes, and the identity crisis that causes, because we know some people might change their name, for example. How is that being, you know, proud of your heritage or your background? You shouldn't find yourself in, anyone shouldn't find themselves in that position, for example, and that's just one element of it.
But Greg, and we have this kind of mental health crisis. This is what the program was centered on.
Yeah.
This mental health crisis within the traveler community. Suicide is 11% of all travelers' deaths. We have the highest suicide rates among any Indigenous ethnic minority in Europe. And anywhere else, this would be an absolute crisis. And as you just said, anyone knows if you're LGBT, if you're from the black community, if you're having an identity crisis, it correlates with poor mental health. And then that being perpetuated by the general population is that we're undeserving, devaluated, subjugated group, obviously has an impact on individuals' mental health and the community's mental health, you know.
What do we do, David, in terms of, and we only have a couple of minutes, and I wish I had more time, we have to return to this, but like banning people using this language on social media, that just hides what's out there, right? So in some ways, maybe it's not better, but sometimes we can see what people think, right? So what do we do? How do we get past this, right? It's unacceptable nowadays for people to publicly speak like this about a lot of minority groups, okay? And that's the way it should be for everyone. But clearly it's not. People have a view and they feel they're entitled to express it. So what do we do to rather than fixing a symptom, in other words, hiding what people are thinking and saying, what can we do to try and change attitudes?
I think that's kind of multidimensional, Greg, but like as we see in Irish society, you know, settled white Irish people are afforded most of the political, institutional and economic power. So I think it has to trickle through. Like if we think of education, just for example, we're fighting since 2000 and for a couple of years now for the Traveller Culture and History Bill to be implemented in schools to educate children about traveller culture. You know, children, and when I was in the playground, it was very much similar, and that's not that long ago. Children learn from their parents, and if their parents have negative attitudes or using slur words that they won't say on the radio about travellers, then that kind of be embedded in them as well. So they perpetuate that. So like that bill is a remedy there proposed by travellers and other senators and the government to be implemented and won't be implemented and is being impeded in its implementation. But I think it's about representation, Craig. It's holding those accountable. We've seen in Donegal especially, it's been rife of politicians openly standing up and spewing anti-traveller rhetoric. So if it's acceptable for them, then general society thinks it's acceptable, and there's no repercussions. You know, the hate crime legislation that was there was many complaints made about a particular politician who made really poor, negative comments about travellers, and there was no repercussion. Putting with TV programmes do it, the media do it, they spin all this kind of, you know, really negative images, perpetuating really negative images about travellers, but there's no repercussions. So it has to come from that institutional and systemic place, Greg, because people on the ground and the grassroots level don't have the power to make that change. We can influence it, but it lies with the government to implement, like the likes of the Travel History and Culture Bill, the hate crime legislation. We have to change them attitudes, but unfortunately here in Ireland it is absolutely rife. Racism, discrimination and oppression are like shadows that hang over the traveller community. Racism hangs there between us and the state of population, and it's creating this divide, and the divide is getting ever bigger.